It's good to have your company here on Business Now. Now, I'm not sure if you've spotted this, but Bitcoin is back big time. Since late last year, it's roared back to life. In the first 2 months of this year, just 2 months, it's up by 42%. Right now, and we'll see this shortly, it's sitting around $63,000 per Bitcoin. It's now within 10% of its all-time high, which is just below $69,000. Pav Hundal is the lead market analyst at the digital currency exchange SwiftX, and he joins me now from Brisbane. Many thanks for your time, Pav. Just the driving forces, because it's been so volatile, a lot of people perhaps have just missed this because they've lost the appetite for cryptocurrency. What's driving this increase?
Yeah, Bitcoin is flying. Look, it's definitely been I guess what we're not used to in this space is a non-retail driven demand complex. And that, I guess that's what we're sort of seeing unfold right now, in my opinion.
I might just stop that there, but that's our boy Pav.
It's a beautiful thing.
On Sky News, looking gorgeous as ever. It almost brings a tear to my eye. I'm so proud of the man.
I did comment internally that it was a bit of a pro dad moment, watching Pav on Sky News this week, but, he nailed it. He's made for TV. I always said he had a face for radio, but he's proven me wrong.
That's it. He absolutely nailed it. He just spoke about Bitcoin. I was a bit disappointed he didn't, you know, reference Shiba Inu or Dog with Hat or anything like that. But, you know, he kept it solely Bitcoin and to do with the ETFs. So we'll link it in the show notes because it's an absolute ripper of an interview and Pav absolutely nails it. So make sure to check it out. And what do you know? He's not on the show today. He's gone a bit big for his boots.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just like, it's almost like this anticlimax. We just built him up in, you know, the star that never was. And now we're here on the podcast today and I'm filling in for him again.
I know. 2 weeks in a row, we have Tommy. Bitcoin's about to hit an all-time high. Pav's on the news. What a week we have in store for ourselves. But Tommy, how you been, man?
Oh, very exciting, man. It's just trying to keep a lid on it at the moment, trying to keep the dog with hat on it at the moment.
Yep.
Pardon the pun.
Well said.
I have to get the dad jokes out that Pav's not here. Like, it's kind of a prerequisite of us doing a podcast. So anyway, here we are. Yeah. You couldn't be but absolutely ecstatic at the moment following the markets. Every metric, every number is going in our direction. I guess we went through 2 years of shit for this. So I'm not too coy about celebrating the fact that, you know, market conditions are looking good. We've earned it. I think we've earned it.
Absolutely.
I don't know. What do you think yourself? Like, it's been a tough 2 years to get here, but
it's been a long 2 years. And I just kind of want to showcase a tweet here that kind of sums up how everyone in crypto, whether you work in it or involved in it, and you know,
you've
taken shit over the last 2 years. We recommend sending this to all your friends, all the naysayers of crypto and Bitcoin.
So I was right. I took a rash of shit for 2 years, but I was right. And everyone was wrong. Assuming.
No, man, that's it.
It's a lot of money. I get it. I can feel you judging me. That's palpable. But hey, I never said I was the hero of this story.
Just too good.
I can picture you saying it with your lips, but him dubbing it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I've practiced in the mirror.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
I sent it to my mate's group chat this morning and it felt good.
Good. You earned it, mate. You earned it.
Exactly.
It. Yeah.
But
it's been, I was going to say, it's been, even with the naysayers, when I say naysayers, people that are skeptics, people will always be skeptical about new asset classes. I think people have a right to be skeptical. Mm-hmm. But I did get a message from one mate that told me that he reckoned he'd only ever bought Bitcoin with AUD, but he reckons I'm still down on my Bitcoin, even though it's hitting AUD highs. So yep. I followed up and asked him to come back and let me know how he's actually down when we're hitting all time highs. But look, I mean, people have different ways of doing it.
Well, mate, there's a lot to unpack here because we are inches away from surpassing the USD all-time high. That's at about 69K. We're sitting at 68.5. So, but like, we've hit it in AUD, like you said.
Yep, we've hit it 100K AUD. We hit during the week. I think we almost went to 102K AUD.
Yep.
So yeah, milestone unlocked. Minor boss beaten. Final boss is USD, like you said.
That's
so
it.
69K. We're less than 0.5% away from an all-time high at the time of recording, which is absolutely crazy to think about.
Ridiculous.
Even just 3 months ago, to think that we were going to hit an all-time high pre-halving was crazy. I think last week we were discussing it here on the podcast. Pav had said that he wouldn't be surprised if it took out an all-time high before the halving. I was kind of on the fence. I think we both thought that we probably didn't see a new all-time high before the halving.
Well, that was a pretty controversial opinion. And
that's right.
Now look at it.
Yeah, that's right. It was. Yeah, it was him going against the grain kind of almost at the time.
Yeah.
So we've also hit all-time highs in euro and British pound, to kind of call it another two top currencies. But look, Bitcoin and ETH are the two blue chips. Bitcoin and ETH are dragging everything with it. The rest of the market is pumping as well. We've obviously seen meme coins. We'll cover off the top movers, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Nearly all of them will be meme coin projects or AI-based projects. They've shown early strength also. Yep. The spot ETF kind of buy pressure continues. It's exceeding the supply. The supply shock is real right now. I think it's something that has been used as a meme itself for years, like supply shock, Bitcoin's limited supply, 21 million, all this kind of jazz that people, you know, talked about for a long time, but it's coming to the fore. It's actually been proven correct right now. Look, let's see how short-lived it will be. But
you could also argue there's a demand shock as well.
Yes. Yeah, exactly right. There is a demand shock. There's only so many ways to get access to the product still, even though we've got, you know, spot ETFs now. I think, is it 12 or 13 of them we're going to have by the end of this quarter? I think there's a few more have been added on since initial 10 or 11 that were added. So, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, on the SwiftX side, just on the exchange side, I think people are often keen to see what's happening on the exchange side. Mm-hmm. Numbers are increasing across the board with kind of volumes going up and to the right, which is great to see. Sign-ups, active users. But one, I guess, caveat to all that is we're still only about midway of the highs that we've seen back in the previous cycle. So I guess we still think there's a fair bit of room for retail to come back in and help drive the market higher from here.
Well, that's it. This huge spike we've seen last week is not retail driven, which typically when Bitcoin reaches all-time highs, retail is well and truly back in for the most part. But yeah, it's clearly driven by the ETF demand. So Eric Balchunas, we spoke about him last week. He's kind of the top guy to cover for ETF data and news. He works for Bloomberg, I believe. But he's just posted this. So we had a record trading day for the ETFs combined last week. You see that big stick there.
Huge.
This is the most recent data. This was yesterday. So overnight in the US, we had the second biggest day ever. So this actually overtook the first day the ETF started trading.
Five and a half bill, and the biggest day so far is just under 8.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I thought the data that arrived this morning, we were going to see either higher. I thought we were going to see either less inflows or even some outflows.
Yeah, because people taking profit.
Yeah, people taking profit, selling off some of those ETF assets. But not the case. It just seems to be going up and up and up, and the demand doesn't stop.
You know, it's actually really exciting, and it's something I was thinking about on the weekend. I was actually thinking about whether I was going to place any trades this week. Mm. And the last couple of Mondays, or like, say, Monday evening our time, when the US market opens up now, because yes, Bitcoin crypto is a 24/7 market and product, but it's not for the ETFs.
No.
So they have to close on Fridays.
Yep.
They open up again on Mondays. So it's an early trend, but it's something that I'm keeping an eye on. It's like, are we going to continue to see this volatility around market close, market open for the US equity market, stock market, essentially, because that's the only time these products can trade. So that's something that I am watching, and it's proving to be key areas where we're seeing volatility on to the upside, only to the upside at the moment. But we are seeing, you know, a lot of that pressure come in that area.
It's almost like during the day, if you're in Australia, like, you're not going to see a ton of volatility. It's overnight when the US is awake and trading those ETFs.
When we should be going to sleep.
And I can't.
Generally, I know. I think I was up till 1 a.m. this morning because I was just like, it was just too exciting. It just looked like we were going to hit an all-time high last night. Fell a little bit short. And then, like I said, now at the time of recording, now we're a quick 2-second check. Yeah, we're like $500 away from, 500 US away from hitting an all-time high, which is crazy. So
I wanted to touch on that. You mentioned supply shock before. There's actually been a few reports that exchanges, this one in particular, Kraken, actually sold out of Bitcoin. So typically you see that when you're buying, you know, clothes online, it's like this item is sold out. In this case, Bitcoin
extra
is
small for you, Ted. The extra small is not available anymore.
No, I think I'm XXXL these days.
Ooh, doubtful.
Yeah. I've been going to the gym, can't you see? No, but this is just a report from a user of Kraken, but there has been other reports of like exchanges not having enough liquidity, particularly for their over-the-counter services where, like, you know, people are buying large amounts of Bitcoin. Yep. So yeah, that might be interesting because obviously like the ETFs chewing up a lot of that liquidity for their kind of institutional clients. Yep. And I think we showed a stat last week where the amount of crypto or the amount of Bitcoin on exchange is at like an all-time low.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a stat that we're only going to continue to see. We know that the block halving Bitcoin halving is about to happen in, you know what, 6 or 8 weeks.
Mm.
The supply shock is real, man. Like,
yeah,
we talked about it. Demand is there. Demand is absolutely there. And when you see an exchange running out of an asset to sell, what you generally see then is you see arbitrage between exchanges, where one exchange has it at an X price and then the other exchange doesn't have it. So they're selling it at what they have at a much higher price, at a premium. So yeah, that's probably something I haven't heard a lot of people talk about yet, but that's something that we should be keeping an eye on as well, as like arbitrage between exchanges. So like, as an example, I send a Bitcoin that I have on Binance to SwiftX and I sell it at a higher price, or the other way around. I've got it on SwiftX, I send it to Binance. Yeah. I've got a, you know, there's an arbitrage between the exchanges. And I think that's something that we could see in coming months.
That's how SBF, I think, initially made his wealth before he started FTX. But given that Pav's not here, I kind of wanted to touch on a few things that Pav usually looks like. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it justice, but Pav often looks at open interest, which kind of is an indicator of open leverage positions. So this is across a lot of like the big sort of assets. So BTC, ETH, SOL, you name it. As you can see, like this yellow area is kind of getting really frothy and there's a lot of open interest. If you look back on like a 6 month chart, this is definitely the most yellow we can see on this chart. What you take from that is there's a lot of leverage in the market right now, which, like, what's your opinion on that?
Generally, in times of any time of volatility like this, where you've seen, like, we've seen a pretty steady run one direction now for some time, a lot of people are going short. They're expecting it to turn around. It will turn around. But in the meantime, there's so much value being liquidated. Like, I think we have some numbers around liquidations as well, or I was speaking to one of the guys earlier. That happens on both directions. So when you see the market going short or the market's going down, people are ready for it to spring back and go along again. So at the moment, I think there is a lot of decisions being made on both sides. Mm. Some people are super bullish. I think it's pretty split at the moment in terms of the numbers. I think it was like 38% long and the rest was short from what I've seen this morning. So people are, obviously you're getting near all-time highs. Yeah. People are starting to think about betting on short. Yeah. But look, there's so many liquidations happening because of those shorts at the moment and it continues higher. I wouldn't be touching leverage personally in this market. Like I do trade at times on leverage, but in this market, I think it's just, it's a bit of a fool's game if you're not, you know, doing it 100% of the time and you're actually focused on it.
Or you have Hundal.
Or your Pav, you can just juggle multiple things like that, but that's not me, so I'd be staying away from it. But yeah, it's a good sign for interest or value being ready in the market as well. So one of those positions wins, that liquidity generally flows back in again. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Awesome. Just before we jump into the top movers, where I know you'll be talking about a lot of the meme coins that are doing very well, but I kind of want to discuss where we go from here, because like you said, like we're about to hit all-time highs, like things are getting super frothy. Like the demand from the ETF perspective is still there, but you got to think that looking back, there's always these corrections of like 30% even in bull markets, but we're just not seeing that. So like, do you think we'll have a correction either before the halving or maybe after the halving? And then I wanted to run you through this theory. That's not mine, but I kind of learned about it recently and I want to run you through it.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at the chart earlier. We've had about 2 months without any kind of a correction, like anything worth talking about.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think Pav uses the term that we're quite frothy at the moment, or you use it as well, like frothy.
Yeah, I've caught on.
Like, I'm aligned with that. Again, I said it last week, I didn't think we were going to push, so I was wrong last week. I'll probably be wrong again next week, but I guess I think it's just, it comes back to the strategy. I think I mentioned it last week as well. Like, you really need, regardless of where you're kind of investing, you need to have a strategy and you need to be taking some risk off the table at these levels, in my opinion, depending on what asset it is. I mean, if we're talking about Bitcoin, as you're pushing towards all-time highs, you just need to be taking some of that risk out, I think. Yep. So, I mean, people have different thoughts on it. I think we will see a significant pullback. Again, no crystal ball, can't really call the time, but I think we're probably, within the next 2 months, we see a pretty significant pullback. For me, I was just looking at the levels this morning. I still think that doesn't put us below 40K, but I think we probably go into the 40s on the next pullback. And I think that would be a really good base for us to start to drive up for the next leg again. You'll see some profit taking. You'll see people like those ETFs will be coming in hard, buying up that dip. It'll be their first real opportunity of buying up a dip. So that'll be really interesting to watch as well. What those inflows look like when the institutions are buying the dip per se.
Yeah, so, no, good call. Yeah, JP Morgan's actually predicting a drop to 42K after the halving.
Right,
that's a pretty significant drop from here. But just quickly, I wanted to mention a theory that's kind of starting to pick up a bit of steam.
Is the one you're going to educate me on?
Yes, yeah, so I'm going to educate you. Now, I just learned about this recently, so forgive me if I, you know, get it the details a little bit wrong, but it's called the left translated cycle, right? And have you heard of Bob Lucas?
Yes.
Yeah, Bob Lucas is like, he's pretty experienced kind of like TA trader in crypto. He doesn't really do like the big fancy thumbnails on YouTube. He's very simple and to the point and just gives you the facts and doesn't make any crazy predictions, but he's highlighted that the left cycle theory is looking more and more likely. This theory argues that this cycle will be much shorter than previous cycles. So previous cycles, we see like 16 to 20 months of bullish sentiment after the halving, right? Which, you know, usually is just like up and to the right, but then you have these 30% corrections where, you know, people are taking profits, but it's not a blow off top that you see, you know, and then a bear market. But he's highlighted that we should have had a correction by now, that 30% correction. And the fact that we haven't indicates that we could be leaning towards this left translated cycle, which would see like just a bullish 2024 and maybe like the first little bit of 2025, but that's it. And then that's the bull market done. Over. And then it's not, we're not getting anything in 2025 like we usually do, like that 16 to 20 months. It's just like up and to the right for the whole of 2024 and then bang, you're done.
Right. So, interesting theory.
Yes. Yep. Very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of theories like this going around. I mean, we didn't get to blow off top the last cycle either. Not necessarily, right?
No, but so, we didn't have this run up before.
No, not this kind Bitcoin of strength. No.
But of course, we have the ETF narrative, which plays a heavy hand. So
I don't buy into the this time it's different type of comments.
Okay.
I will say you have to acknowledge that we have a regulated financial product in market now. We didn't before.
Yeah.
With a lot of capital flow.
Mm-hmm.
So that is different in a sense. We've washed out a lot of the shit, if you don't mind me saying. Like, we've had a lot of high profile failures. To think we can come back from that, it shows resilience in the people that invested.
Yep.
In the projects themselves that stick out the bear market. And it was, let's be honest, last market was more than just the bear market. It was torture for everyone, right?
Yeah, like,
every businesses died. A lot of people lost money. We had some high profile exchanges in Australia that lost self-managed super fund accounts for people. Like, there was just everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Yep. So the fact that we've came out of that, we're early looking at new all-time highs again on some assets is huge. I'm going to do a bit more digging into this left translated cycle theory that you're telling me about. But at a high level, I agree that we are absolutely over leveraged now for a correction, and we should see a correction soon. I think we'll still see a correction. I don't see it just being a full 2024 bullish movement.
Cool.
Around that 100K USD. If we do break all-time highs, we push towards that 100K USD, I could potentially see that as being a psychological barrier for people to take profits, including ETFs that might have started to buy in at, you know, what, 30-something K, 40-something K, I think, when the ETFs launched. So, yeah, I mean, that's let's see how that plays out. But yeah, I mean, I could be wrong for the next 6 weeks, Ted, but I think the 7th week, I'll be right. And we'll have a, you know, we could have a 30-40% correction on the price, but look, it doesn't bother me. I'm happy to be right or wrong in this, but
we're loving it. Yeah. I can already see the headlines tomorrow. Tommy Honan from SwiftX predicts healthy 30% correction for Bitcoin.
It would be healthy.
In fact, I'll write it.
It would absolutely be healthy.
I'll write the headline. All right, it's time to get into top movers. We had some pretty strong opinions on the market itself, but top movers, I mean, come on, what are we seeing? It's literally just, I mean, it's just dog meme coins, isn't it?
And frogs.
Oh, there's a frog in there. Yeah. There's a frog in there. The biggest mover this week is Pepe, up 381%, everyone's favorite frog. Then you've got Bonk, Shib, Dog Whiff Hat, which is a new one.
And
Floki, they're all in the top movers as well. So, yeah, memes dominating the charts.
Love this little graph. It's actually, this graphic, it's really cool.
Yeah.
The bubbles.
Yeah.
Gabby said she was going to call her dog after Floki.
That's Elon Musk's dog, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Floki, nice. The asset.
I'm going to call
her. She invested in Floki and she said she's so happy with it, she's going to call her dog Floki.
I like it. I like that.
That's commitment.
Shout out Gabby.
That's commitment. Shout out Gabby.
Yep.
Yo, Gabby.
I might call mine Dog With Hat.
You dog. You're going to go. You're going to say dog.
Just let me have it, with Tommy. Just let me have it.
We won't pop the hood on that one. That's all good, Ted.
But yeah, look, what do you make of this? Because obviously memes are running hot before the halving, and like retail isn't fully back yet. So I think this kind of contributes to the whole narrative that things are getting quite frothy at the moment and things are getting a bit too silly. And we're due for a correction. Like, that's just my opinion, but like last cycle, I know we had Doge, which ran, you know, ran a mile after the halving, and then in came SHIB and a bunch of other meme coins. This time, like, they're all there already, and they're all doing insane things. But yeah, what do you think?
I mean, yeah, slightly contradictory to my earlier comment around retail not being here yet. Like, retail are the main traders of these meme coins, and we're seeing massive volumes coming in for these assets. So, you know, on one hand, potentially Bitcoin and ETH are not being moved by retail, but the flow on effect is, and this is what retail do, right? They see an asset that's moved quite a bit, like Bitcoin and ETH, and they look for the next best thing.
Yeah.
So they're looking for kind of ways to deploy capital, and meme coin culture is strong. It has been for quite a while, and I guess these are what people are latching onto. I struggle to get to a point where I think institutions are investing in Dogwood Hat or Bonk. Look, maybe it's happening through back channels, but yeah, it seems like a retail play for sure, which is obviously one to watch when retail come in heavy. That's generally when we feel quite toppy in the market, like you said, and gets a little bit silly for a period of time.
Yeah.
But look, we're not complaining. A lot of interest. Anecdotally, again, Ted, I'm sure you're like, this last week that's gone, my phone hasn't stopped with, you know, people from years ago just texting you or sending you a message on Facebook Messenger.
Yeah.
You're still doing crypto? Like, you know, those messages are coming through. We're
now the most popular people at the party again.
That's right.
Maybe you never left, but I certainly wasn't.
No, look, it was definitely a tough to talk about crypto for some time. People were kind of rubbing you on the back, putting your hand on your shoulder, saying, you're all right, mate, you're for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely changed now, as your video called out at the start.
Absolutely. So I think in terms of like the retail market and kind of narratives that they understand, I think AI, gaming and meme coins will be the key ones there. And when you look at other narratives or other sectors of crypto that might be a little bit more fundamentally sound, like you're talking about layer twos, and you see the likes of Arbitrum and Optimism doing huge volumes and really scaling Ethereum and doing big things, but most of the retail market doesn't understand that, and so like they're probably more adverse to jumping into those tokens and more the other ones I mentioned. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of need to be a layer deeper to be able to understand why you should be investing in infrastructure tokens versus, you know, something that's trending. Retail obviously tries to jump on trend. They look for things that, like you said, they can understand. They understand gaming. AI narrative is strong at the moment. People are using AI tools for ChatGPT and all these kind of things. So whereas the less sexy of those are the infrastructure plays, like we talked about Beam last week. We talked about Immutable X, I think, as well last week, and that gaming infrastructure play. People are not kind of as focused on those. Yeah. And then obviously L2s like Optimism, Arbitrum, and these ones as well. Yeah. Matic has been one that's been quite depressed for this market. I'm very surprised that it hasn't had kind of a run. So yeah, that's kind of another one. But we'll need to see some price action in those assets to get the retail kind of focus back on them, which is might be coming soon. Who knows?
For sure. All right, Tommy, let's dive into a couple of news headlines. Yep. So we'll whip through these pretty quickly. So interesting story coming out of the US. Coinbase actually crashed. Its site crashed twice over the last week, no doubt due to the recent spike in the price of Bitcoin. A lot more of the retail market, you know, trade with Coinbase, and they're starting to get back and have a look at their portfolio, and it crashed twice.
Yeah, I heard that it was, they tested it for 10x the volume that they were used to, 10x the traffic, and it still crashed it. So pretty intense. We've seen some pretty heavy inflows on the SwiftX side as well, but we haven't had any crashes, touch wood, thank God we haven't yet. So pretty happy with that one.
Take that Coinbase
right now. What else we got?
So MicroStrategy, Michael Saylor's company, you know him, you love him.
We do.
No surprises here. They're about to buy more Bitcoin, and they're actually trying to raise $600 million to buy more Bitcoin. Clearly not fazed by us almost reaching an all-time high. Michael Saylor doesn't slow down. So
he said he'd buy at every price, right? So he's, you know, he has proved he's bought at the very top of the market.
Yep.
I think, I want to say it was about 62K was like pretty much top of the market that he bought last cycle.
Yep.
We're at a pretty much a short-term high right now. So Yeah, convertible notes. That's the way to go when you have a when you have a company with stock and equity that you can essentially draw down value Absolutely. Against from investors. So,
well, I think he used to be the CEO, and now I think his role title is something like Bitcoin acquisition or head of Bitcoin acquisition or something like that, which is essentially just I buy Bitcoin every day.
Yeah,
which, you know, wouldn't be too bad.
It doesn't matter what seat he's sitting in or what title he has. He's driving the you know, Bitcoin acquisition strategy anyway. So
he's the big dog.
He is. In the he's seat. Man.
Just like you are. In a lot of places you go to, Tommy.
Easy.
But Tommy, you've got some interesting insights on the Ethereum and Dane Coon upgrade.
Yeah, just I guess we've talked a lot about Bitcoin recently. We kind of have been floating the idea of Ethereum getting its own spot ETF as well at some stage this year. But I guess I get a bit of a positive news story around ETH and their kind of infrastructure and scaling is they have three upgrades going live in the next couple of weeks. 30th of March is one called Dinkun, and it's two smaller upgrades called Cancun and Danube. Yep. So yeah, TLDR for people that don't care about what's under the hood all that much, but the upgrade essentially will significantly lower L2 transaction fees and enhance kind of scalability, efficiency, security across Ethereum for those L2s. So yeah, look, I think it's one that potentially a bit of a sleeping giant type of story. I feel like we might see some volatility on some of those L2s like Matic, Arbitrum, Optimism, these kind of assets. Kind of maybe we'll be discussing it podcast next week if you see some volatility in those, but they haven't really been doing a lot when you compare them against a lot of the broader markets. So yeah, definitely one to watch, I think, in the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Well, mate, we might wrap things up there. It's been a pretty big episode. Obviously, a lot of excitement in the market. Let's hope it continues into next week.
Yep.
But Tommy, thank you so much for coming on board again and filling the very big shoes of Pav Hundal now that he's a, you know, a Sky News superstar and touring around the country. I think he is.
We don't know. He doesn't need to check in and let us know where he is anymore. Yeah. It's kind of on his own level these days. So yeah, you know,
left us behind. That's
he did
for sure.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, but no, awesome, great to be on, Ted. And we never know. We might get we go off three in a row next week. Let's see.
Fingers crossed. Cool. Thank you, guys. Catch you next week.
See ya.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's show. If you liked it, don't forget to head over to the gram and join us at Tapping Into Crypto. And before we finish up, just a general disclaimer that this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. And the opinions on this podcast belong to individuals and are not affiliated with any companies mentioned. Any advice is general in nature and does not take into account your own personal situation. If you're looking to get advice, please seek out the help of a licensed financial advisor. We'll talk to you soon.